The streak is over, but not before an exciting win in Golden State. Jaylen Brown wants to hug Aaron Baines, and the Celtics just flat out miss Gordon Hayward. It's the Locked On Celtics podcast. Millie's, let's go.
Right now, anything's possible.
Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. Yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
Happy Monday. Well, not that happy because the Celtics' 10-game winning streak is over. They are now 10-2 on the season. And I, John Corrales of MassLive.com, am going to talk about that, the dubs, the Jaylen Brown comments after the game, him hugging Aaron Baines, all that stuff that I talked about before. It's just, first of all, let me just say this up front. I fell asleep in Phoenix. So I went from San Francisco to Sacramento to Phoenix all in the span of 34 hours, I believe. And I got to my hotel in Phoenix. I laid down and I crashed. So those of you in Boston who may be expecting a podcast at 6 a.m., well, I'm recording the podcast at what is your 6 a.m., at what is 4 a.m. here in Phoenix. So that's what the road does to you. All right. I just want a little taste of, give you a little taste of the road and some of the, I guess, pitfalls of the road. So, and I guess the Celtics kind of sort of fell asleep when it came time to guard Buddy Hield. How's that for a transition? I mean, I didn't even plan that out. Buddy Hield dropped 35 on the Boston Celtics in a 199 loss in Sacramento Sunday afternoon. He shot, 14 of 24, 58% from the field, 58% from three, 7 of 12. He got comfortable early. He got comfortable often. And that was, I think, Boston's biggest problem in this game. Every time they tried to make a run, every time they tried to pull away, Buddy Hield turned around and smoked them. And by the time they got around to covering Buddy Hield, then Bogdan Bogdanović turned around and had a 10-point fourth quarter and started hitting a bunch of shots. And the Celtics just couldn't get away with the slow start. They couldn't get away with the slippage. They couldn't get away with what Jaylen Brown said was the mental toughness. Got to be more mentally sound. After the game, Jaylen said, we need to be more mentally sound five times before I had to ask him, like, well, what do you mean? And he's talking about the turnovers, of which there were 15 in the game, but 12 in the first half, and 19 points off of turnovers for the Sacramento Kings, which in a one-point loss, that's inexcusable. And that mental toughness, that mentally sound type of basketball, if the Celtics aren't going to play that, then they are going to be in trouble. They didn't do that, and I'll talk about this in the second segment. They didn't do that really early on against Golden State. They got away with it. They didn't get away with it against the Sacramento Kings. Brad Stevens talked about the correctables in this game, and he wouldn't explain to us what the correctables are, but he said that there were a few, and he said that that's something the Celtics had to clean up. What are correctables? I asked Brad Stevens about that a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And he said, you know, it's basically it's rotations, it's knowing who you're guarding, it's knowing what the play is, it's knowing what your responsibilities are. The Celtics going to a zone for stretches in this game and not able to keep the Kings at bay because they weren't playing the zone all the way through. Zone in the NBA is a little bit different than zone that you might know, and the Celtics just weren't able to execute that properly. A correctable, a thing that they could have done better that they didn't. And Jaylen Brown, after the game, took the loss pretty hard. I mean, he was visibly upset. I mean, he was, you could tell he just kind of stewing in his locker with the ice on his knees. It just took a while for him to kind of gather his thoughts. And one of the things that he said was the Celtics didn't deserve that bounce at the end. Marcus Smart gets the ball, last play of the game. Let me rewind. We're talking about correctables. We're talking about being mentally sound. Marcus Smart, uncharacteristically, was not mentally sound and screwed up a correctable because he got a rebound. Kemba Walker took a shot. He got the rebound, Marcus Smart did, and he tried to go back up with it, up one with 13 seconds left. Instead of grabbing it, pulling it out, forcing them to foul, which he said this exact same thing, forcing them to foul, hitting your free throws, and then forcing them to come down and hit a three. Now, the way Buddy Hield was shooting, maybe they would have, but that would have been a tie game and would have put the pressure on Sacramento to make the play. But instead, Marcus Smart makes the mistake after making an absurdly athletic play, just one of those Marcus Smart doing Marcus Smart things kind of play, going up and getting that offensive rebound, which was insane, and making a play where you thought, wow, they're going to do it again. Celtics up one, and there goes Marcus Smart grabbing a clutch offensive rebound, and then he tries to put it back up. And that's a correctable. That's a mental mistake. That's something that he's got to, you know, that's going to sit on his head for a little bit. It's unlike Marcus Smart to make a mistake like that. And no one's going to be perfect. Like, I'm not shitting on Marcus Smart and saying, you know, like he's been maybe the number one or number two reason that the Celtics even had a 10-game winning streak to start with. But he's also one of the reasons why they don't anymore. And that's just a fact. That's just a fact. And that's gonna happen. Every player has games like that. Every player makes mistakes like that. But look, Marcus Smart was 2 of 16. He was 1 of 8 from 3. Uncharacteristic, all of that stuff. He did have 9 assists, but that foul, that play, before he even took the last shot, was a mistake. And then he gets the ball on the last shot. Kemba works it around. He got stopped. Smart gets the ball. He launches this floater, side of the rim, off the backboard, sitting on the front of the rim like it's doing an impersonation of the Larry O'Brien trophy. The ball just sitting there for a second. And then, as Jaylen Brown said after the game, we didn't deserve it. And so the ball didn't fall their way. And frankly, I mean, I'm not a big believer in the basketball gods, but he's right. They didn't deserve it. And whether that's why they lost, it's still, they didn't deserve to win. And they didn't. And the stuff that they had gotten away with against bad teams, they didn't get away with against Sacramento. Even without De'Aaron Fox, even without Marvin Bagley, I knew it going in. I wrote it going in on Mass Live that they're still hungry. The guys who are on the floor are still looking to make their points, make their impact, to make the most of their opportunity. You know, frankly, when teams are hurt, sometimes those are the most dangerous teams. The wounded animal that fights for its life. Sorry for being dramatic, but that's the sports example. You know, that wounded animal that's just going to sit there and be like, if you're going to take me down, I'm not going out without a fight. And Golden State did it, and they couldn't quite pull it off. Sacramento did it, and they did pull it off. And mostly because they had better players. Because Buddy Hield is better than basically all but maybe one or two two of the Warriors right now, you know, at least offensively. So that's what it boils down to. I mean, Kemba Walker wasn't upset after the game. Like, I mean, he was upset, but like he was like, look, this kind of happens. You're going to have these losses. Plus side, they did fight, but downside, they shouldn't have had to fight. They made mistakes, and they paid for it. So the streak is over. Later on, I'll talk about what that means. First, we're going to come back after the break. We're going to talk about the Dubs. They did win at the first game of this road trip. So I'll talk about that when I come back on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
On Friday night, the Celtics walked into the Chase Center, which is ridiculous. Let me just start off by saying how ridiculous the Chase Center is. They have this gigantic scoreboard. I mean, this thing is a monster. And it's like four gigantic 4K screens that I can't even begin to tell you how much justice. I can't do it justice is what I'm trying to say. This is what happens when you try to podcast at 4 a.m. But that arena, I mean, it's gorgeous, beautiful, all the sight lines perfect. Obviously, you treat the media very well. Very modern, obviously, just built it facilities. Very, very cool. Very cool. And I didn't even get to see some of the things that the fans saw. So the Celtics went in there. They got lucky a little bit because D'Angelo Russell sprained his thumb. Another injury for the Warriors. I mean, everybody's injured. And so he was torching them. And he couldn't finish the game off. Another game where the Celtics started bad and had to come back. The difference between that game and the Sacramento game is the Celtics made plays down the stretch. Most notably, the jump ball play, which Marcus Smart called and told Jason Tatum. The way it was set up, if you watch the play, basically all of the Celtics were on one side of the court. All of the Warriors were on the other side of the court at the jump ball after a challenge. And Marcus Smart told me in the locker room, said, I knew that they were going to tip the ball back because they needed the possession. They had Willie Cauley-Stein jumping the ball. So he knew that they were going to tip it back. And so he told Jason Tatum, just shoot the gap. Just shoot it and go for the steal. And Tatum was like, I don't know about that. And Marcus was like, shut up, just go. I'll take responsibility for it. And he went and he made the play. And it turned out with that awesome photo. If you haven't seen it, go to Marcus Smart's Instagram, Young Game Changer on Instagram. He's standing at half court with his arms raised, and even though he's out of focus way in the back, you can tell he's got a giant smile on his face. And he loved it. He told me he was ecstatic about it because he knew it. He called it, and it went off. And the funny thing afterwards is when Tatum said, yeah, we said, well, what was Marcus Smart's reaction? And he kind of made that sarcastic voice, be like, I told you, listen to me. And Marcus Smart was like, yeah, I told him. It was an I told you so moment. And he knows it was an I told you so moment. But that's Marcus Smart at his best. You know, and I think part of what Marcus Smart is going through right now is he's just banged up. When he walked to his scrum at the Golden One Credit Union Arena, I think that's the name of it in Sacramento. I mean, he looked like an old man. He looked like how I would look like if I tried to walk to a scrum after playing an NBA game. And let me tell you something. That ain't good. It wouldn't be pretty. I would basically almost have to be wheeled to the front of the room to talk to reporters. And Marcus Smart was like a half step above that. And I'm 20 years older than him, and I haven't played basketball in a year. And Marcus Smart's having one of the best months of his life. He has a bone bruise on his hip. He's got a whatever other bumps and bruises. His two right fingers, the index and the middle finger, were taped up because he sprained those two fingers. They were the fingers that he dislocated a couple years ago. I mean, he is just beaten to hell. I wouldn't be surprised if they sat him against the Suns. As much as that sucks, and as much as you hearing that might induce you to like get sick, I hate to say it, but on this back-to-back in November, I'm all about preserving these guys. This is an opportunity for the Celtics. Give him this day. Take the next day off going into LA and just save yourself for the Clippers and for Denver. This is just, there's nothing, even if it's a loss and you say, oh God, you don't want to lose too many games and what, like, I don't care. I'd rather have Marcus Smart be healthy. One loss, if him not playing means it's a loss, but it saves him from missing extended time in a month from now or 2 months from now, then I'm all for it. I don't want to take chances with him. He already gets banged up too much the way he plays. I think they need to save him from himself. So he said he suffered that bone bruise in the Golden State game. The other thing about that Golden State game was Kemba Walker shooting 1 of 11 for the first three quarters and then scoring 14 points in the fourth and just kind of going off. After the game, he said, it's winning time, and so I willed those shots in. And I had to ask him and say, what do you mean winning time? Do you understand that that's not how normal people think? Like, if I was 1 for 11 through three quarters of a basketball game, the first touch I got in the fourth quarter with your team down would not be a crossover, step back, fading away three-pointer, which he, by the way, stuck and was the beginning of him hitting all of those shots in the fourth quarter. That's what makes Kemba, Kemba, and which makes the rest of us human. I asked him about it. I said, how do you understand that normal people don't think like that? Normal people don't sit there and say, oh, well, it's winning time, so now I'm going to make these shots. Me, a seemingly normal person, I'd be like, I want to turn on the it's winning time in the first quarter and hit those shots. That would be nice. So we don't need to have fourth quarter heroics. But for some reason, he's able to do it. And he... To hear him talk, I mean, he's got that thing that, I don't know, something clicks. It's hard to explain. These guys, like, we sit here and talk about players in these terms of like normal people. They're not. Like, they're normal people who live normal lives outside of basketball. I mean, it's not that they're not human beings. You've heard me talk that about players who are human beings, but on the court, they're not normal people. That's what makes them NBA players. Like, their job is to be extraordinary at this one thing, playing basketball, and they are the best of the best, and Kemba is the best of the best of the best, if that even makes sense. But there's like a handful of guys who can do what he does in the fourth quarter. And, okay, he didn't do it exactly like that against Sacramento, but his ability to do that is... just, it's wild. And to hear him talk about, like, I just, my mentality, I want it so bad, so I will those shots in, doesn't make any sense, but he does it. And that's what the greats do. They have an uncanny thing. Like, he says he made 500 shots, makes 500 shots before he plays a game. So he knows that if he's having an off night, it's because it's just an off night. It's not because he's not working hard enough at his game. And that's what allows him to keep shooting. Because when people like me, who say, well, screw this, I'm 1 for 11. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pass. Kemba doesn't have that. Because Kemba has that mentality that the rest of us kind of don't. Where I, even if I hit 100 shots, if I hit 100 shots the day before a game, I'd be like, damn, I hit 100 shots. That's amazing. And Kemba's like, no, 500. Like, there's another level. And these guys have that one thing that gets them off to another level. So that was that was a fun end to the Warriors game. One thing to note is that Brad Stevens still experimenting with his bench. Grant Williams didn't play in the Sacramento game. Javonte Green didn't play in the Warriors game. But then Javonte's the first guy off the bench against Sacramento, and then he plays 6 minutes as a minus 13, then he doesn't play the rest of the game. Robert Williams, a minus 13 against Sacramento in 6.5 minutes, then he doesn't play the rest of the game. I don't know if it's his ankle or what, but Brad Stevens is still tinkering with the lineups, and it's exacerbated by the loss of Gordon Hayward. And I'm going to talk about the loss of Gordon Hayward and what we saw in the beginning of this road trip that makes you really appreciate what Gordon Hayward does for this team. Stick around. More Locked On Celtics next.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Look, no Gordon Hayward for the Boston Celtics is a problem. And it's in some ways good that it's a problem because that means that he's back to being good again. So you like how I twisted that? You like how I turned that into a positive? If there's any knock on me, it's that I'm positive to a fault. But I find these little things. And so what? I'd rather be positive to a fault than negative to a fault. Then I'd be Dan Shaughnessy. Or at least if I were negative to a fault, I'd mean it. But Gordon Hayward has become good again, and that means that the Celtics need him on the floor because the guys that they're relying on the bench aren't scorers. Like, you have let me amend that really quick. Marcus Smart, not a scorer, but he can score. Enes Kanter is more of a scorer. Those guys can put up numbers. There's no reason why those guys can't combine to score 30 points a game themselves. But right now, with Smart now in the starting lineup, and Kanter coming off the bench, coming off of a 7-game absence, he told me in the locker room that his timing is a little bit off, his reaction time's a little bit off, and he expects it to come back in a couple of games, but there's still... I mean, he said, the things that I know how to do, I'm not doing them fast enough. And so with that being part of the issue, with Marcus Smart being in the starting lineup, that really exacerbates some of the bench issues. Now, Semi Ojeleye stepped up against the Sacramento Kings. That's great. Semi really needed to step up and have a decent game. He ended up with 11 points on 4 of 5 shooting. He came into the game with 5 made field goals on the year in 11 games so far. And then in his 12th, he hit 4. He had 1 3-pointer made in 11 games, and he hit 3 in that 12th game. So Shemi's ability to score in this game probably is what made Grant Williams kind of expendable. I don't know if that's the right word, but I'm not going to go searching for it right now. Grant didn't play, and because the Celtics needed scoring. And without Gordon Hayward, they now lose a guy who can calm things down. One thing that I've seen in the past couple of games, especially from a guy like Carson Edwards, and I'm certainly not going to... This isn't like a criticism. It's a critique, but not like, Carson, why do you suck? It's Carson's a rookie, second round pick, who's struggling a little bit, and I think he tries to do too much sometimes. Especially he tries to drive, and his drives just don't seem to end up very, very well. And with Gordon out there, if he runs with the second unit, then he can calm things down. And with Gordon out there, the Celtics can start. They can bring two guys off the bench later in the first quarter. So you substitute maybe Gordon and, I don't know, Jason Tatum at the six-minute mark. And then those guys check in later in the first quarter, and they can kind of buoy the bench. And this way, those two guys, now Grant Williams or Carson Edwards, have two really good players, two potential all-stars, for all we know, in this. I mean, whoever it is, I mean, all four of those guys are playing well enough that if this level of play continues throughout the first half of the season, any one, two, three, I don't know if all four, but some combination of those guys can be all-stars. So especially if the Celtics continue to have the best record in the league. So those young guys with the potential all-stars, I mean, those guys playing at that level, that's something that they don't have with Gordon Hayward hurt. And that really sucks for the Celtics, and it sucks for Gordon, but until they get him back, then a lot of the things that we're seeing with this bench aren't necessarily how it's going to work out down the road. The Celtics need Hayward back, and at a full strength with four really good players, they are a top-heavy team. Those are going to be the four guys that are going to do the bulk of the scoring. The Celtics starters were averaging, coming into this game, in the mid-80s, mid to high 80s, as far as points goes, which left, they were averaging 115. That's certainly dropped. I haven't checked the new numbers. But the bench was scoring like 20, almost 27 points a game. It's just, that is not going to be sustainable for a team that if one of these main guys gets hurt, it's just not going to work. So hopefully for the Celtics, he can get back, he can be healthy, and they can move forward with more regular rotations. So the Celtics miss Gordon Hayward. That's established. They're not going to have him for a few weeks, and tonight they're going to be playing the Phoenix Suns, who are going to be a tough team to beat, especially if the Celtics sit Marcus Smart, which I think they should. But you got Phoenix on the back-to-back. That's not going to be easy. Then in 2 days, you play the Clippers. That's never easy. They're loaded. And then in 2 days after that, you got to go into Denver and play in that altitude against a team that's just, when they're on, they are damn near unbeatable. The Celtics have this potential here now for a four-game losing streak. I don't know that that's going to be how it goes, but things can turn pretty quickly. I don't think it's unreasonable to say that they could lose the next three games. But with the Celtics team, you never know, though. I mean, they could win the next three games. It's going to be a tough road for them. And I don't know how they're going to beat the Suns. If Robert Williams isn't playing, if he's not fully healthy and he tweaked his ankle in the Kings game, and I don't know if that's why he only played the 6.5 minutes, but if he's not playing, if he's not fully healthy, the Celtics are going to have to go small again. I just don't know if they can hang with the Kings the way they're playing right now. I mean, the Suns, the way they're playing right now. If they have to go small, if they continue to be shorthanded, it is what it is. So if that's how it goes, that's how it goes. But just brace yourselves. One funny thing I just got to add before we go is that Jaylen Brown is looking forward to hugging Aaron Baines, which after the game, he was asked about Aaron Baines. And he said, Baines, that's my guy. He's crazy as hell. But yeah, I'm excited to see him. I'm going to make sure I give him a big hug tomorrow. So look for a picture of Jaylen Brown giving Aaron Baines a big hug. Who doesn't want to hug Aaron Baines? He's like all of Australia, right? I don't even know what that means, but that's where I'm going to end the podcast. So whatever. I hope you've enjoyed it. Like I said, this is a weird one for me to record after passing out and then trying to wake up and do this, but here we are. Hope you enjoyed it. If you're a new listener, I hope this has earned a subscription for you. Go ahead and subscribe wherever podcasts are available. All your regular listeners, come on, man. I've earned that 5-star rating. Give it to me, baby. Give me that 5-star rating. Give me that good written review wherever you can write a review, especially on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever the hell it's called now, because that really helps out. Share the podcast. Tell everybody. Listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.